Normally I'd say good evening, but it is the start of a new day, so good morning. Today has been a very interesting day for me. Roller coaster ride usually does not describe it very well. One of the most loved things in my life is having people touch my feet. So when my wife came to me and said, if I brought the pail to you, would it be easier? And I said, so, is Satan throwing snowballs in hell? As you can tell, I'm very obedient. And I had another friend come over. God bless you, Rick. He comes over, and I'm sitting there, and they're, Lord, you know, I'm not ready for this. I really just need some more time. Because every time I think about getting up to obey, to do this thing, there'd be such an anger that would build up inside of me. It's like, I told my wife, I said, this keeps up, I'm going home. You can find someone else to preach tonight because I don't care. And he tried to warn me. I called him up and I told him what I was doing. And he said, well, I'm telling you what I'm doing too. And I'm like, she'll tell you. I used adult bad words. I was not happy. It was a terrible thing. Well, you know, everyone's laughing, but you know what? Whether you preach, whether you walk, whether you talk, we are still in this body. We're still human.
Yes.
We still do things. I mean, what did Paul say? I do things I don't want to do.
Amen.
So what's he saying there? I'm sure he didn't walk by all the time and go, oh, bless you, in his mind. You know, he's like, oh, here we go again. Especially when he's dealing with people, dealing with the law. So I mustered through, and finally I'm sitting there, and, you know, Rick was very kind. He was nice about it. He tried to pull me out of the chair. And normally I would have been highly responsive to that, but I asked him to give me time. Then he tried to counsel me. And I said, it's nothing that you can do right now, my friend. Please give me time. The most precious thing you can give me when I say is, give me some time. Basically, you know, let me be. Because it's someone trying to help you when you're really in a space of anger does nothing but what? Don't. If my house is on fire, please don't grab the gas can and try and douse the flames. That's just how it is with me. So Rick went and he grabbed our brother Dave here, and I'm sitting there and I said, okay, Lord, you know, we're getting close to the end here. You had picked me out to preach, and I am going to preach, and I'm also going to do this, but there's only two people that I'm going to allow to touch my feet, so I won't kick them in the face. This is honesty. I mean, this is true honesty here, because it, you know, it takes a lot for me to do certain things. You have seen me struggle with circles. I like circles more than I like people touching my feet. Bob's not here to enjoy that. He's out in the bathroom. But so then Kim comes by, and he's looking at me and basically had that look. I know what he wants to do. And it's like, look, here's what's going on. I explained it to him as nicely as I could. And then he's looking at me, well, we said we would honor you. And I says, no, we have to do this before I say no again. So in spite of what I was going through, he's over there, you know, doing his thing, and he's telling me, you know, forgive this, forgive. He's doing what the Spirit's leading him to do, and I'm in there, forgive. Everything inside of me wants to say, here, have some bleach. But the blessing will be there. Bob's enjoying this.
So
we must get through this.
Amen.
And
you can relate to Peter.
Oh, no, because Peter submitted right away.
No. He did. Read the fine line.
I did read the fine line. Okay. We did this back in 2000 and what? Over in Munson.
Yes.
And I said, never again. Okay. And then last year you hinted at it, and I told you what I thought of it.
It's a tower from law.
Yes, it is from law. Very much.
No. You said no and never again.
I know that. And I also know I had to set myself up, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So after I said it, I knew it was going to happen again. But it would have to be at a time when I knew I could handle it. Because at the time when I did submit to it, I did it because it was a group thing. This time, it's because I chose to submit.
Amen.
Am I happy with it? No. Am I going to have to do it again? Yes. Do I want to? No. Will I? I hope so.
That's
each time that you submit, it's supposed to get easier. Not necessarily, but it's supposed to. Bob, I'm just getting started here. I'm going to say something. I'm going to reiterate something so you can enjoy it because you missed a good one. No. Because you would enjoy this because you've been around. I enjoy foot washings. I enjoy circles more than I do foot washings. Can you understand? there's the giggle. As you can tell, my attire is very church-like. Oh, Army of the Lord. Absolutely not. That's not why I'm dressed like this. But the Lord did tell me to wear it. I have my khaki John Deere hat, my work boots on. You know what this outfit is? This is my Xbox 360 outfit.
Awesome.
You're laughing. She dressed up my little icon the way she thought I looked. And when she was all done, I looked at that and I said, I can do this. Within 48 hours, I went and I bought the stuff, got all dressed up. I came downstairs. She looked at me and went, no, you're going to go play Xbox. But the Lord told me to wear this. And I did it just out of obedience. I did not realize how far obedience was going to go. But, yes, it also designates Army of the Lord correctly. But we left here today at 1 o'clock or 1:30, whatever it was. As usual, Pastor Kim comes up to me as I'm getting ready to go home, says, I need some rest. I'm having a time. He says, you're the speaker tonight. I love how much warning he gives me. So I'm like,
it's all the obedience flowing. He had to go with the flow.
Well, he was so nice about it. He's there. I saw your face several times this morning, and you're the designated speaker. What have you got? I got nothing. Oh, yeah, you do. And I'm like, you better find it, because I don't know where it is. So as we left, I was on my way home, and the Lord told me to put on the passion. So, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I have something to prepare. You want me to put on the passion? And they're, okay, I'll put it on. And of course, when I got home, I made my dinner and I get the passion in. And my wife goes, don't turn it on. I have a little bit of laundry I want to get done first. Okay. So we waited, another 20 minutes? So then she says to me, I knew we were going to watch this today. And I'm there, well, good. So we put the movie on and we're going through. Now, this movie came out, between 5 and 8 years ago. I remember working in the factory, people discussing this movie, and one woman says, I won't go see it. All it is a bunch of blood and guts everywhere and that, and she's going off on it. And I don't see why they make a movie like that. And I said, you know, they don't get it. One person was mad because that's all it was. You didn't get to see anything else. And I'm thinking to myself, they're showing you a Roman execution. This isn't a love story, per se, except the ultimate love story. Mm-hmm. Now, we were sitting there, and she's like, oh, you know, I'm looking at her, and she'd start falling. I have to wake her up. You know, wake up, Mary. Because there were points where she literally would start falling asleep. I was so moved. You know, you see me when I try to bless the blood in the body. I get all caught up in emotion. I can't do it. It's like, I can't put in English how I feel. Now I watch this movie and it's like, sure, God, mess me up further. I'm watching him as he's being whipped. And I'm, you know, I don't know how much of the crowd was there. I don't know how much of the details was there. We have the account of the Bible. Then we have man's account. Now we have Hollywood's account. Now, we know that Mel Gibson did the best he could to go through to recreate as best he could. But like everything else, when you're dealing with the Bible, you have to put a little bit of ad in to have some sort of a flow. Well, they're showing his mother there. And the look on her face and the interaction between those two as he's getting scourged. I was losing it. Mary's like, "Are you laughing at me?"
Because I was crying.
And I'm sitting, you know, I'm not going to tell her I'm crying. I'm too much of a man for that, you know. I mean, I'm fighting back the tears, and I mean, I'm choking up. And watching as they pulled out the final torment. Mm-hmm. Mary is quite happy, the one that they picked up that he didn't use because they had all the nails in. He was supposed to be seeing the movie, you know. It's like, she's like, "Oh, no." And I said, "No, it won't be that bad." "Oh, good." Instead, flesh is being ripped from his body. When they were done with him, and there was nothing left to his back, they were kind enough to unhook him from one of the bracelets and throw him on his back so they could whip his front. Now, mind you, according to the movie, Pilate said, "Discipline him, but not unto death." Now this Roman centurion comes back in, sees this man almost dead, and these people going off and enjoying themselves. But the point that the movie brought up real well, that isn't covered so much in the scripture, and I say this truly because anyone who's had any kind of life at all would understand this. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Your Father, if there's any way," the movie portrays Satan walking around saying, "You don't really think that you have the capability of carrying all their sin. Nobody can handle the whole load." In other words, he's getting the same treatment that we get. And even all through that, when he's saying, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." You recall the scenes, Pastor?
Uh-huh.
Right there, the poor lady that played the devil is sitting there. "Who's your father? Who are you?" Still did not know. Still guessing. Until he stood up, and for theatrical purposes, and I'm there, good add-in. He stood up and crushed the head of a snake. Then looked. Then he knew. Through this whole deal, if it wasn't enough to watch him get bruised and beat up, to watch what happened afterwards, the crucifixion, the part that I knew she just gasped on when they pulled because they had to dislodge his shoulders to get the hand where they wanted to nail him. She's like, "Oh my God." And then she saw the blood and she goes, "My God," almost identical to the vision I had a week ago Tuesday. Just, it hit me so hard to watch. And we've had this movie since it came out on DVD. And this is the second time that I've watched it. Well, because it affects me to such a degree that I don't ever want it to become seen so much that it does not affect me. When I pull that thing out, I want it to have that effect. I want it to shock me. I want it to remind me. And just to watch the continuous beating. I know that some of it was, well, Mel Gibson said it perfectly. "We can't put on TV what actually happened. It'd be too gruesome." Romans were not noted for their charity when they were dealing with public executions, except for their own people, which was, by law, the cutting off of the head.
Peter, can I just ask, what was the name of the movie?
The Passion.
Passion.
The whole point of this was to bring up to what Laurie did not know was her contribution to this whole gathering tonight. She contributed this thing right here. I am the bread of life. Thank you, Laurie. When I got done with the movie, I sat there for a second. I said, Lord, what is it we're doing? And he said, you're doing communion. But you're going to explain these high points of the movie. And some other fill-ins. The fill-ins are simple. That body was smashed. Because it wasn't broken. It was smashed. It was pulverized. For the healing of our bodies. It just reinforced what I had said, 2 months ago? When you partake of communion, see that. If you have cataracts, see the cataracts on him. Do you recall what he said before he died? Father, why have you forsaken me? The historians of the day that marked that event said that he was not even recognized as a man on that cross. He was so badly mutilated. Think about this. Roman centurion who's been there through execution said, two different versions. One said, this was truly an innocent man, or this was truly the Son of God. This is a man who's accustomed to death. He noted a difference. He's sitting there on the cross, and one of the thieves in the movie, which I could almost see this portrayed out, the Pharisee goes up and mocks him. If you're the Son of God, come on down. When he's leaving, Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the thief is there. Look, he's praying for you. That was the same one that said, when you come in, when you go in, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw that you brought it out on Sunday, I believe it was, about, or the week before, whatever, I don't remember, about the two people up there. One mocked him,
yeah.
The other one mocked him, but then changed. Where was the change? He saw the forgive them, Father. He's dying. He's been beat to death. He's been beat up more than they were, but yet he was innocent. The blood shed for sins, and what else? What else? For healing. Life. 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 More abundantly. So the only scripture that I do have for you is Mark 14. Sorry, Mark, I'm going to pick on you. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 22. My God. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them. They all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he said to them, and I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Other versions say that he took the bread and broke it. And explained to them that it was broken for them. It was broken for all of us. That we would not only have the redemption of sin, but so that that Passover lamb, the final lamb, would finish all that needed to be done. As he said from the cross, two versions. One, it is accomplished, or it is finished. Either or. The Lord Jesus gave up his spirit when he dictated.
Yes.
Not when Rome did, not when the devil did, not when anyone else did. He sat there on that cross, or hung there on that cross, pardon the misuse of the terms, but he gave up his spirit only after he knew everything was bought and paid for and it was ended. Not a second before, not a second after, right on time. He had said, I have the power to lay down my life and to take it back up again because it has been given to me by my Father to do so. To think about that and to realize that he endured only by his choice and gave up his spirit by choice at the proper time, that all scripture would be fulfilled. It just, you know, if it doesn't hit your heart, meditate on it, it will. I mean, we can, in this modern age, we can do a lot of things, but how many of us can decide when, unless, I mean, literally just sit there and say, right down to the millisecond when you're going to go. You can't. Even these people who take their own lives, they cannot dictate exactly when they go. But he did. So please, when we take communion tonight, remember the blood was shed. The body was broken for healing. Everything that we need is in the element of communion. Everything. Any questions? Any additions? Mary? Would you be so kind as to assist?
Very good speech, Peter.
We're going to be using the matzah. It is the Passover. I'm going to try and make this as realistic as possible. Explain why the matzah is very important. The matzah, for those of you that are not familiar with it, as you can tell, I'm a little light here. We'll get my flashlight. Won't need it. You see the holes in the bread? Is the light coming through? Yeah? Good. The holes are there, even by Jewish tradition. It is burnt, holes, and there is no yeast. Yeast was a sign of sin for them. Holes, the piercing of the coming Messiah, the burning, the roasting of the lamb. I do believe that Jesus had a little bit of time in the fire while hanging on that cross. He endured a lot. When he was done, he said, I thirst. A lot of medical reasons for that, I'm sure. I mean, how long would that kind of a pulverizing doctor, would the average person be able to live? I mean, blood everywhere, skin gone, dehydration, hanging in the sun, bleeding to death.
About 6 hours.
So it's a... it was an incredible feat.
Romans were brutal.
Yes, they were. And after all that was said and done, they tried to say that he got... There's people today that actually believe he woke up in the tomb, got up, and rolled the stone out himself and walked out. I am sorry, but it's not going to happen. Bob's like, nope. So it was burnt, pierced, no leaven, just to symbolize the coming Christ, the final lamb, which he fulfilled all. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you. I want to give you honor and I want to give you praise. For this matzah, may I break it now as you are broken. And I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it, Liam's. Right now, in Jesus' name, we give you honor, glory, and praise for this bread. And we thank you that it is the body of your Son, Jesus, which was broken for us, that we would have health, and health more abundantly. And I'm asking, Father, we have a greater understanding of this, even as we go forward in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
God. All the fun one for me, the blood. That's where usually it all stopped up. Father, he took the cup, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my blood, which is given up for many. I thank you, Father, for this blood. I thank you for the grapes which was crushed, which you brought forth to make this, so we would have a covenant supper this evening during this Passover feast. May it come alive in us. May we become alive as the scripture promised to us, promised us we would. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we honor and we glorify you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to, obviously it's going to be here. If when you come up for your communion, please remember it is a communion. It is a common union of the body into a common union of Christ. Just kind of filter this way and enjoy. I am going to take one for the church. The Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we would unify in God's purpose.
Amen.
Cross denominations. And of course, when I'm saying this, I'm for all people who are listening, it is for the true church of Jesus. The ones who believe, the ones who walk in Christ, ones who are seeking his purpose, and not just their purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Table's open for all who want it.
Oh.